Well, it's a good day to be alive. I like this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. I like all the things that are happening. Such an important time we spent during worship, connecting with the cross, right there, a ministry point. You know, you don't have to wait till the end of service to have a ministry point. You don't have to wait to a certain time in the program for someone to cross the line of faith with Christ. The Bible says where two or more gathered together in His name, He shows up. And I just believe He showed up in a great way during that time as Mike led us in communion. Candace sang. Wasn't that a great song? Lead us to the cross, where God just does something in our heart. Pray in a prayer, already prayed a prayer. Bow our needs to King Jesus. And I just believe that's what it's all about, connecting with Christ through communion. And that's just key to the lifeblood of who we are. And I think it brings us right into our series that we're in right now, kind of an early summer series about connect. Last week we talked about connecting with purpose and that God has a purpose on us. We've not only been made by God, but we have been made for God. So important. Next week we'll talk about being connected to the world around you, how you are connected to the world, and how we're going to be even more connected to the world that God's placed us in. And then that final installment of this series is connect with devotion. And I think that'll be a key message for us, because one of the things that is so important to being the person that Christ wants us to be, living the life that God intended, is connecting with daily disciplines, weekly disciplines in our prayer, in our worship, in the Bible, of being fully devoted followers of Jesus. That it's got to be an intentional step for us. So we'll finish up with that. But today we're going to talk about connecting with the local church, connecting with God's house. And being a part of that. Now they say, oh boy, you just kind of pushing membership, or you want me to sign up for something. Maybe, you know, it's kind of one of those go to church preach messages. Well, it's kind of that, but it's a lot more than that. Really, what I want to share for a few minutes is, what is God's view? What is heaven's view? What does heaven think about connecting with the local church, God's house? I mean, when we say church, it's not bricks and sticks. Now, there's the local church. And then there's the invisible church that's all around the world. You're a part of everyone that proclaims Jesus as Lord. You've got brothers and sisters all over the world that lift up the name of Jesus. But then there's a local context that we commit to. And it's really about people. When I say God's house, the church, it's about people who make up that. So let's pray. Father, we love You. Speak to us for a few minutes this morning. Let Your word come alive. We don't limit Your word. We don't limit our gathering. We believe that just one moment with You makes an eternal difference. We thank You that it's not by power and might, but it is so by Your Spirit. We love You, we love You, we love You. In Jesus' name, and everyone said a good amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalms 92, and I'm going to read a portion of Scripture with you that I so like, and I've been studying it lately. And what I like about it is it's a Scripture with promise. It is a Scripture that is full of promise, and it's also one of Dylan's favorite Scriptures. Psalms 92, verse 13, 14, and 15. If you've got in your Bible Psalms 92, why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, got it. Everybody got it? Okay, got the word. Hey, we want to welcome everybody who's joined us through TV. Thanks so much for being with us. We're having a great day here at Healing Place, and we're glad that you've joined in, whether it's through TV or whether through our live internet webcast of Healing Place. So thanks a lot for being here. Hey, church, why don't we clap our hands for all of those that have joined us through media. Thanks for being with us. Psalms 92, verse 13, it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Fresh and flourishing. Now, if you say that real fast, it could give you a hard time. Fresh and flourishing. Turn to the person to your right and say, you look mighty fresh today. Turn to the person to your left and say, you look like you're flourishing. I know some of you don't like me making you talk to somebody, but I really enjoy irritating you, to be honest with you. It's something I've been called to do. Verse 15, to declare that the Lord is upright. That means always right. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. So we're talking a little bit about being connected to the house of God. Psalms 92 in these three verses gives us a great picture of really what heaven says about that. Those who are planted in the house of God, They're going to flourish in the courts of our God. They'll bear fruit in old age. They'll be fresh. They'll flourish. Then they will declare that the Lord is upright, that He is my rock, and that there's no unrighteousness in Him. Now, this is a scripture. Remember what we talked about? This is a scripture with promise. So it gives us truth, but then there are promises that are attached to this truth. It's almost what, you know, the Bible talks, it shows, the Bible shows this a lot, where there is a commandment, and then there are conditions to the commandment, and then there are blessings that are associated with those conditions. And we see that all over Scripture. God will give a command, and then He'll give a condition of how we respond to that command, and then there is a result of that obedience or that disobedience. And this is one of those scriptures where right from the beginning it says there's a fact that if you are planted in the house of God, you shall. And there's three shalls. So it goes from the fact to that second part of that scripture where there are those three shalls. Where you shall flourish. You shall bear fruit. You shall, you know, make a difference. Be fresh and flourishing. I like that word fresh. It means fat and full of sap. Now don't turn to your neighbor and say any of those following words. You may have a rough morning. So it says this is what's going to happen. If you are planted in the house of God, then there are some guarantees that are going to happen in your life. And because of those guarantees, it then moves to this structure of Scripture, because there is a structure to system Scripture. There is a system to how the Scripture works, where it speaks truth to us. And it says simply there, fact, guarantee, you shall, and then it turns right around and says thus, then out of that you will declare something. See, there's purpose on you, there's blessing on your life, there's favor on your life to declare something on your life. See, God has put something in you, God has put something on you so that you can be used for purpose. Can I have a good amen? It can be used for a reason for that. And so it's important for you and I to know that the blessings that are on your life and the blessings that are in your life, that they are there for more than just personal use. That you declare something. I declare that God is my rock because I'm planted in the house. And because when I'm planted in the house, there's a promise that God puts on my life, then I'm able to declare something to those around me, to my family, to the world that we live in. I believe when you're planted in the house of God and when the promise is on your life for that, guess what? You have a message. There's a message on people's life who walk in commitment. Can I tell you the flip side? There's not a lot of message on someone's life who doesn't know anything about commitment. Can somebody give me a better amen? It's a mixed message. It's a watered down message. It's a message that's kind of all over the place when there's not commitment. Nobody wants to hear about commitment from somebody who can't stay committed. Oh yeah, we preaching now. You don't want to hear commitment about something. You don't want to tell somebody, you don't want somebody to tell you about being committed to their finances and they're not committed to their finances. You don't want somebody to tell you about being committed to their children and they're not committed to their children. In reality, you want to hear commitment preached from someone who's making the attempt. Not somebody who's arrived in perfection, because that ain't happening. But someone who's making the attempt. And so God tells us here in the Word that there's a promise when we are planted. And there's a purpose that's attached to that. I believe a revelation of this promise can change your life. It did mine. I went to church when I was growing up. Made it Easter, Christmas, every once in a while. We went to a little church down the street. Great people, precious people, very predictable. Good people, very safe. Didn't, you know, we'd stay out for a couple years, roll back in. Same thing going on. Not much has changed. And can I tell you this? When you're 12, 13, 11 years old, and you're ADD, and you're in a boring environment, it can be brutal. Can I have an amen? It is the recipe for a whooping. I'm telling you. And so I'd go, you know, I'd count the ceiling tiles. I'd read the maps in the back of the book. I'd just fog out. And I don't know what my mother was thinking when we would go to church every once in a while. She'd let us sit behind her. Now, when you ADD and you've got your sister sitting with you behind your parents, it's on right now. It's circus time. Yeah. You deserve it for letting me sit behind you. I mean, just what was she thinking? So, you know, we just go. It's so predictable. It was brutal. Great people, good people, the few that were there. And I mean, not much happened. The best thing that ever happened, the one thing that I remember about church in my sub 17 years, 17 and below, I remember one time being in church and we'd sit behind our parents just fogging out, just brutal, hot, just, oh, and, you know, and just, and I remember I walked that same, church would start, music leader would start leading, choir door would open, 9-8 people would walk out, sit on the front row every single week, same thing happened. And I'll never forget, one lady walked out, I've told this story before, she walks out and she did not have a hair issue, she was not sick in her body, there was none of those things going on. She liked wigs, and she would wear a different wig every time I showed. That was the only thing that changed in this environment, was her wig. Again, she did not have a hair issue. She was not dealing with a physical issue, a sickness in her body. She liked wigs. She rolled out, parked herself, started singing, and had forgotten her wig back in the choir room. And she's just rolling on to Thine the Glory, and she has no wig. She has like a hairnet or something going on. It was bumpy. Can I tell you right now? 12 years old. I'm ADD. I've been waiting on this moment. Finally, I'm passing out. We're dying laughing. And my mother starts swinging at me. How many of those mamas will trip on you and start hitting like this? Don't even aim. Just bow, like, whoa, I didn't even know you believed in that. And it didn't even stop me. I'm just full on. And the wildest thing, it's so crazy in this environment that the choir door opens and somebody passes her wig out. She sees it and just keeps on rolling. Thine the glory. I'm like, I'm coming back next week. Do more than count ceiling tiles. But can I tell you this? When I was 17 years old and I came to the cross, my life changed when I got planted in the house of God. See, when I came to church, but I came through the cross, it all changed because the promise of Psalms 92 came on my life. It changed my life. When I came through the cross, I just didn't attend church. I just didn't do a drive-by. I didn't make an Easter Christmas appearance. I actually got planted in the house of God. There was a promise that came on my life, and it produced some wonderful results that have spanned my life so far. Being planted in the house of God. I see that every day around here. I see people planted in the house of God. Not just attend, but are planted in the house of God. It's an easy message to preach. That's why I wanted to do this message while we were doing communion. It was Memorial Day. A lot going on. Because this is a committed church. There are thousands of people across multiple services that are planted in this house. You give your time. You sacrifice. You understand the value. You show up. You're there when the doors open. Because you see the promise that is given. It's not about healing place. It's not about what you get out of a church. It's not about what somebody can do for you. It's about a promise that's in Scripture that says when you are planted in God's house, there is a blessing that can come on your life. Doesn't mean everything will be perfect. Doesn't mean you won't have any battles, because I found out when you get in church, a lot of times that creates an alarm in hell that was never there when you were just attending. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking about being planted in the house of God. Big difference. The Bible doesn't say that there is a promise to those that attend. The Bible says there is a promise to those that are planted. Got their roots in it. Contributing, receiving, giving, receiving, serving, being served, loving, being loved, celebrating, being celebrated, connecting. I believe there's such a promise that Scripture gives us. You say, well, Dina, why is it so impactful? It's just a building. It's got issues. Church got problems. I've been hurt. You know, I don't trust. I've tried. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. All these things you hear. But can I tell you this? It's very invaluable to Jesus. You got to remember, what it says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No matter what we think, no matter what we say, it's still His because we are His. And once you've come through the cross, can I tell you this? We belong to Him. We belong to Him and what God is doing. And we know that going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like going to AutoZone, you're not a spark plug. Come on, somebody. We know it all goes through the church. It all goes through the cross. It all goes through the cross. But it's valuable to God. I remember when I was growing up, we had a cat. And I was not a big cat fan, but my mother wanted to get it. So we got a cat named Coco. She's a pretty little kitten. We love her and, you know, kind of hang out with her. Started growing attached to her. How many of you can get a pet and the pet can become like a child? And you just treat it like a child, becomes part of the family. I mean, it's just, your world can start revolving around, we got to get home to take the pet out. I mean, it's just amazing how things get just crazy. And because we have a Yorkie and it's like a fourth child. But we had this kitten and you know, it's a pretty little kid, but then it grew up and had a wild streak in it. It'd go out and fight, stay out all night long, roam the neighborhood. Just roam the neighborhoods. Come back fighting, scars all over it. You know, just grew up and just started looking kind of nappy. Just all fur out of its place. And came one night, it came and been roaming the neighborhood all night long. Walked in, had half of its ear gone. It's been in a fight. And when you looked at it, you thought you were off balance. Like, whoa, I'm getting dizzy because it was kind of half ear. And, you know, one morning, it was in my dad's car, and it had a fight with the car fan. Cut it to pieces. But it has multiple lives. And it lived. We took it to the vet, sewed it up, came home, big zipper in its side, just no fur. I mean, that cat was just, it looked tough. I mean, it was far gone, it limped, it smelled like car engine, to be honest with you, its whole life. It has, you know, scratch itself, not all there, chew on things, scratch on things, roam the neighborhood, would be gone for a week or two, you would never see it. People would see it and they'd be like, God, they'd walk in the house and that cat would be over there in the corner, just kind of half ear, you know, no fur on one side. They'd be like, Lord, what is that? Is that an armadillo? I mean, what is that over there? And you'd be like, my God. And they'd be, how do you love that? Whoa. But here, you know what the funny thing is? They'd ask, how do you love that? Once you get rid of that cat, the situation was we did love it because it was ours. And I liken that to the church, that in church world, we have had our share of blunders. We have had our share of bumps and bruises and beatings and brawls and battles and blow-ups and bad moments. But at the end of the day, He still loves the church. He gave His life for the church. And He cares for the church because it's made out of people. He loves it. Everyone can talk about it and bash it and make fun of it and not want to be a part of it and put it down. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's still His personal project. It's people. It's still His. Can I tell you? I made a decision when I was 17 years old, when I got in church. I was just that kind of guy. If I was made a decision, I'm going to keep my decision. I made a decision that I was going to give and sacrifice and be a part of building what He was going to build. Through the good, the bad, and the ugly, I was going to build what Jesus was building. And this is a church where thousands of people, you've made that commitment. I thank God for it. I thank God for your commitment to the house. And it's in multiple sites. About 1,400 people will meet at other sites today. Just in our little world, not even talking in context of all the other amazing churches in this city and the incredible churches in this region. Just in our little context, committed to build what Christ is building. I want to finish up with this scripture that I think really helps us to connect to the local church and gives us perspective. It's in Ephesians chapter 5. It's a powerful scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 22 through 32. Every word is important. Every phrase means something. And it can speak to our... Verse 22, Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Now, can we just stop there and just preach there for a couple weeks right there? I'm just going to stay right there. Just joking. Wives, submit to your own husbands as of the Lord. Hear the comparison. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. Remember, church is people. It's made out of people. It's not really a location. It's a location in context of a local church. And there's a corporate church. But then there is that invisible. So it speaks of both. The gathering, but then the family. People. For as the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and is the savior of the body. It's going back and forth. Church, body. Church, body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And I love what Paul says here. This is a great mystery. What is he saying? The mystery of two individuals, husband and wife, coming together to be one. It's sometimes unfamiliar. It's sometimes hard to work through. Sometimes in a relationship where man and woman meet, they love each other, they get married, but it takes a little while sometimes to figure that person out or to figure out the mystery of coming together. And Paul is saying, of course it's a little unfamiliar, but you'll understand it better when you look at my relationship that I personally have with the body of Christ, with my people, with my family, with the church. I mean, the Holy Spirit puts together the institution of family and the institution of church. And right there in one portion of Scripture, he mingles the two together and says, you will understand relationships, life-giving relationships, in these contexts. It's an amazing thought right there. You can spend a year studying, what is the Holy Spirit saying to us about family, marriage, relationship, church, gathering, partnerships, grouping together, whatever, all different dynamics of relationships, teams doing something together for the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 32 says a lot about what Jesus thinks about connecting to the local church, what Jesus feels about being planted, what he sees it as. The Bible tells us there that he's the savior of the church. He's the head of the church. Says that he loves the church. He loves us with an unfailing love, an unconditional love. He tells us that he sacrificed for the church. Why would he sacrifice his life? Because of people and the eternal value that every single soul has. So he's willing to sacrifice for what God is doing as a gathering. Bible tells us that he cleanses the church. He cleanses it, and guess what? We need to be cleansed. Can I have a good amen? I see that all the time. Sometimes during a worship song or during a prayer time or gathering together with a group of friends, and Jesus gets in the middle of it, and you just sense a cleansing in your life. How many times we've come together, maybe even this morning, as we were singing, how great is our God. In the middle of all that, you just sense a cleansing. You sense maybe a conviction or a comfort or a drawing that says, Jesus, forgive me for the way I acted. Lord, I need your help. You sense God lifting something off of you. You sense a burden being taken away from you. You feel this great desire to surrender and to lay things down at the foot of the cross. During those moments. Why? Because he's here cleansing us. He wants that. He desires that in his house and among his people. The Bible says that he presents the church. He presents the church to himself. And he cares for the church. He cares for us by giving us the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to roll out and you just be a group, a gathering, a club. Because the church is just not about being a club. Church is just not about doing humanitarian works and seeing a need in the community and a group of people coming together. We need to meet that need. Guess what? The church is something that is spirit and it is life. It's powered by the Holy Spirit. It's just not powered by human compassion and human empathy. It is powered by the Spirit of the living God. Big difference than a group or a club. It's the Holy Ghost. The Bible also tells us that he cares for the church. And then lastly, he makes sense out of the church. I thought about this. If man is the center of the church, it's not going to make any sense. If a denomination or a group or a committee or an influential family or somebody with money or somebody who's the loudest talker, the loudest mouth, come on, somebody. If they're at the center of the church, it will never make any sense. If a personality or a superstar or some individual is at the center of the church, it never makes any sense. But when Jesus is at the center and Jesus is the head and it's all about Jesus, it's not about me, it makes a whole lot of sense. It only really makes sense when it's all about him and what he wants to do. It really makes sense then. Oh, this is about God's word. Oh, this is about Jesus reaching people. Jesus' word. It's about bringing him glory. It's about bringing him honor. Oh, that makes sense to me because he makes sense out of it. I'll finish up with this thought. Why do I love the church? I love it because Jesus loved it. I want to love what he loves. And because I love it, I will sacrifice. I will be there. I will show up. I will support. I will give. He loves it. And because I love what he loves, then I'm going to connect. I will protect. I will build. I will care. And you know what else I'll do? I'll make it a priority. Because by reading scripture, our Savior made you and I a priority. And he made this gathering a priority. Therefore, that's why I believe we make the local church a priority in our life. A priority in our life. A guy stopped me a couple days ago. And he said, he was telling me about the trip they're getting ready to go on as a family. How many, every once in a while, someone would tell you about a vacation they're going on and you're not getting to go on it and you get kind of mad at them? Okay, yeah, I'm excited. Yippee. But you're not going nowhere. You're going back to the house, cut grass, change a diaper. Yeah. And we're not bringing the kids. See, I can't stand you now. He just angers you. And so he's telling me about this vacation. I said, oh, praise God, praise God. But you know what they said I thought was so cool? And I don't say this to condemn. There's not a, oh, they're holy, holy. I just thought, it just registered in my heart. They said, but we're waiting till Sunday, and we're going to come to church on Saturday. So I just told the family, we'll leave on Sunday morning because we want to be in church on Saturday. Now here again, they're not more spiritual. They're not loved more by God. They don't love God more. Follow me. There's no condemnation here about anything like that. What it said to me was, wow, somewhere in their planning, they scooted in a priority. Yes. Yes. And I just thought, wow, that's cool. Not that as if, you know, if they were bald, now they grow hair. Or if the car was a clunker, now they go outside and there's a Mercedes there. Ooh. It's the principle of, wow, that family made a decision that this would be a priority in their life. And I see hundreds, literally thousands of you that make that decision in this house. And as your pastor, I bless you for that. I bless you for that commitment. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand together. God's good, amen. I appreciate you being here. I really do. I want you to know that. I'm valuable anytime anybody shows up. I really do. Forgive me if I've ever taken you for granted. I'm sorry if I've ever taken you for granted. I'm just so grateful you're here. And if this environment would not cause you to flourish, then I'd be the first to tell you need to go somewhere else. Go somewhere else where you can flourish. Because I can tell you something that's important to me and Dylan and Mike and Johnny and all the rest of everybody else, Brother Wayne, is we think constantly about, is this still an environment where people can flourish? Because if it's not, then let us make the hard decisions we need to make, whether it's in us or whether we're the problem. Whatever, God, keep causing people to flourish in their life. If they've decided to be planted here, then, Lord, I pray they're flourishing here. Let this keep being that. So I just want you to know that. It means a lot. Amen. Hey, let's join hands with the family of God. Father, many people through communion have met with you, and Mike led us in prayer. There are many decisions made today. Lord, I think about last weekend, just in between the 10 and 12 service, over 150 people that came forward to lay some things down at the cross. I thank you for that. But Lord, we take time right now. We just pray for the family of God. Lord, we grab hold of hands, and we hold hands here, but Lord, we're holding hands at our video campus right now. We're holding hands way up in St. Francisville. We're holding hands, God, into Ascension Parish at our Gonzales Spanish campus. And we can't even speak the same language, but we're holding hands about the purposes of God. Lord, we're reaching across the river into Donaldsonville, some of the poorest people in our state, and we're holding hands with them. God, we reach across through media and through the internet, Father, reaching people, Lord, that may never come here physically, but Lord, they get touched. They get changed. They come to Christ. Lord, we reach out to a little community in Danville that's gathered together, 50, 60 people right now that are being touched, Lord, by this video. Lord, I pray you touch them. Lord, we reach across seas all the way to the Terry Balançon Chapel. A couple hundred people will gather. And Lord, we join hands with AIDS orphans. We join hands with moms that brought five kids to church. And they're going to get a meal that's going to help them through the day. We touch them now. Because for the body of Christ, we're family. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to do whatever it takes to keep Jesus and lost people at the center of our cause. Because there is no other cause worth all this. We love you, Jesus. I bless thee. I bless your people. I bless your people. Father, all those who got kids ready and brought them to church, I bless them. I bless those who came here out of situations. I bless those who walked in these doors and they struggled this week. I bless those, Father, who came for the first time or they just started coming here and it's a different environment. They've never been in a church that's maybe this loud or this kind of stuff going on, but they sense they need to be here and it's just different. I bless them in Jesus' name. We love you, Jesus. Help us to keep loving what you love. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Hey, thanks a lot for being here. Y'all have a dynamic week. Hey, have a good day tomorrow, Memorial Day. Take some time off. We'll see you next weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. God bless you.